All right, good evening, and we'll get started here. I want to go to Numbers 15, starting verse 38. I've got a cord issue with this projector. It's giving a little flickering there, and I think it's the VGA cord, so we're not going to project it tonight until I can get up there and verify that and fix it. I think that's the issue, because it was giving us trouble when we installed it. This cord's tight. But anyways, back up here, Numbers 15, and in verse 38, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments through their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God." And then verse 41, he says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this text that's before us tonight, and thank you, Lord, for the commandments, and also, Lord, the reminder that the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example of the law in keeping it. And Lord, I thank you that tonight, as we come to you, we need grace, because God, you are holy, and we are not always holy, but we can walk holy, Lord. And I thank you that tonight we can open up your word, we can study it, and thank you for the marvelous grace that is found in Christ. And we ask now you teach us this evening, in Jesus' name, amen. I had a nice little picture for you, but I'll just describe it here. But some of you have seen maybe at Jerusalem in the Wailing Wall and the picture of Jewish men that are there, and they'll often put a prayer shawl on top of their head, and it comes down, flows over there, usually the upper torso. And at the very bottom of that, you see these threads hanging, a fringe that goes around. And then usually there are on the four corners of it, or in four, you know, the different sides, you will have these longer threads that hang down, and there are knots in them. And those are taken, basically the description of that kind of image that you see is the same thing that is described here in the book of Numbers, when the instruction was given through Moses to tell the children of Israel to make these fringes around the hem of their garment. And it was so that when they would walk around, and to this day, Orthodox Jews will do that. You'll see even men sometimes dressed in suits, and yet underneath their suit, they'll still have that prayer shawl. And it's actually what they call the tallit, and it's the garment that goes under that, and they'll put sometimes a shirt over it or a coat over it, and you'll just see the hanging tassels sometimes underneath the suit coat. That's it. That comes directly out of this passage, a commandment that the Lord gave them to do that, so that whenever they were walking around and they were out in public or in private or in their home or whatever, whenever they put on their clothes, that was part of their garments that they put on. And it was a constant reminder that they were under the commandment of God, and the commandments of God, specifically. This whole idea of the Jewish male wearing that garment with the tassels around the hem goes right through Scripture. And sometimes in our English Bible, we don't really connect the dots like that, because we don't usually dress like that now, and not under the law, so I don't have to. And you wouldn't think that that is something that plays an important role in Scripture, but many times in Scripture it is seen. For instance, and we don't have to turn to these, but you remember in 1 Samuel, in chapter 24, David went down and he cut something off of Saul, right? Remember, off his garment? He cut a piece of the hem of his garment. What he cut off was one of those tassels that comes down. That's the same word that is used there. And actually, remember, it bothered David. He snuck down when Saul was sleeping. He cuts that off. He goes back, proving that not only could he go into the very camp of Saul and do what he wanted, but that he wasn't going to do Saul harm. But in the process of doing that, he also cut off something very important. He cut off a reminder of the commandments of God on Saul's garment. And that's that same word. And you can find that whole account, 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 to 22. It is seen also in the book of Malachi. And there is a verse there found in Malachi, actually, Let me move along here. I'm probably jumping ahead of myself on some of this. I'll come back to that. And let me read, actually, I'm going to jump to the New Testament, then I'll come back to Malachi. Because when it talks about in Malachi 4:2, and the verse I was going to quote basically is, it says that the Son of Righteousness is risen with healing in his what? Wings. And his wings, the word wings, same word that is used back there for the hem or the fringe that is used around the garment in Numbers chapter 15. And it's the same word. And so when you think about a man holding his arms out like this and those tassels hanging down, and that is the image that Malachi speaks of, the Son of Righteousness who has risen with healing in his wings. Now keep that in mind, because you come to the New Testament, and in Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 20, Matthew 9:20. You remember this is the account of the woman who had a flow of blood, an issue of blood. It says, "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment." And you remember Jesus being a Jewish male, walking as a Jewish male under the law, because he kept the law, and he did that, he performed the law. He would have had that garment on him as his outer garment, and those tassels would have been there. And when that woman reached out, that's what she was touching. Maybe she was clinging to the promise of Malachi 4:2, right? The Son of Righteousness, and identifying Christ as that one that was prophesied about. And it says, "For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.' But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, 'Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well.' And the woman was made well from that hour." And I think of that because, again, the Lord is, there were people watching and waiting for him. And it played a very important part in the Jewish mindset. And I say that because I wish I could kind of call up the little slide I have there that shows the tassel itself. And I think John McKim, when he's been here, he's had one of these prayer shawls before. I know he has when he's come to MBBI, and he shows the little tassels that are on them, and they're very interesting because they're put together in such a way that they're a constant reminder of the law in the amount of twists. There's actually 8 threads in each one of those little tassels that hang down on the 4 corners, and one thread is longer than the other, and it's a blue thread, and it's a reminder to the Jew. There's white and blue, and it's a reminder of that. It's a heavenly color. It's the color of Israel as well. And it is a reminder of God mingled into that and twisted together and tied. And there are various knots. Now, I can explain it kind of quickly here, but between these strands of threads, okay, you have that blue cord that is distinct, and it reminds the Jew that he is, from or of the Lord in the sense that he is to be holy unto the Lord, and that this was a commandment that was initiated by God. And that string is to remind them of that. And that's what the book of Numbers says, right? That this would be a constant reminder to your eye about the commandments and about the fact that you won't go wandering, right, after serving other gods, those kind of things, or practicing idolatry. There are 5 knots in each one of these strands. And those 5 knots remind the Jew that there are 5 books of the law, right? The Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. And those are there in this, in that. In this, then the strings are wound in those different things. In the first set, between the 2 knots, they are wound 7 times. In the second, it is wound 8 times. And in the third, it is wound 11 times, and in the fourth, it is wound around 13 times. So you have those knots, beginning with the first all the way down. In between those other 4, those are the different numbers that are of windings. You say, well, that sounds strange. Why would they do that? You remember the Jews ascribed to each one, or the Hebrew alphabet, they ascribe a number value to each letter. You remember that? So when they actually were transcribing the Bible in Hebrew, they used to do that from the scribal days where when they came to a letter, they would put that letter just like in the first copy, and they would ascribe a number, the same number to each one of those letters, and they would do that. And they would they would do the whole Bible that way, or the whole, let's say, the whole book of Genesis, something like that, and they would write that out on a scroll. Then they would add up the sum of all the numbers represented in that, and the ending product number had to be the same as the first one, the copy that they, or the original. And so that's how the Jews were very accurate in keeping the Bible exact in its copying, because they had to make sure, and they ascribed those numbers to do that, very practical way of doing it. But it's interesting, those numbers became significant, and they show up in the windings of those twists of the cord, in the knots, and those kind of things. And it's very interesting. Remember, the first three windings are 7, 8, and 11. And you add those numbers up, and you get the number 26, okay? Trust me on that. I know I'm out of, like, fingers after 10, but there's 26 in that. And that represents the very name of God. If you take the Hebrew, the consonants, which in English would be YHVH, Yahweh, okay, Jehovah, they're unpronounceable in Hebrew. They call it the tetragrammaton. And the four unpronounceable consonants that make up the name for God. And that's the name that God revealed. When you ascribe the numeric value to those, it comes to 26. And so within that woven cord that hangs on four sides, you have the very name of God, the reminder of the name of God that is found in that. It is interesting also that the numeric value for the tassel, which in Hebrew is tzitzit, that's how they say it, tzitzit, I guess. It's a hard, not an easy word, but that's kind of the way it sounds. The value for that, if you add all the numbers together, you get 613, okay? Or 600, excuse me, 600 for the value there. The last winding is a number 13. And when you add those numbers up, and the laws of the books of Moses, by the way, all the Jews went through the books of the law, and they discovered, or they do this even to this day, that there are a total of 613 laws found in the Torah. And they would say those each, 613. Of that, there are 365 that are thou shall nots, okay? They're on the negative side. And then there are 240 thou shall, all right? And when in Numbers, back up there to our text, when it says you will look upon this hem, this fringe, this cord, and you'll look upon it, it'll be a reminder of the commandments of the law. So again, adding those numbers up and ascribing it to the letters of the tzitzit, as they say, it reminds the Jew there are 613 laws. And anyways, I can explain this in a picture someday. I know I'm not trying to confuse you too much here with this, but I just want to say there is some methodology behind it. And the Jews today still use this garment and are reminded of it. They call it their prayer shawl. And they're cloaked in prayer when they do it. And it's thought that when Jesus makes the comment to, remember, to go and withdraw into your prayer closet, he's referring to the covering that the Jew would put on over his head to kind of keep the world out and focus on prayer. And you'll see when a Jewish man goes to pray, like at the where you'd see it publicly most often is at the walls in Jerusalem, and they will go there to the Wailing Wall and they'll cover their head. By the way, the prayer shawls a lot of them wear today are not white and blue, but white and black, and sometimes black with no other colors in them. And that is because Orthodox Jews are mourning the loss of the temple. And someday again, they will wear white and blue when the temple is returned to them. And so you'll see that, and you'll see that white and blue configuration as opposed to white and black as opposed to white and blue in that. But that's where that comes from. Anyways, I want to go back to the text here. and there's other accounts where people sought Jesus. Remember Matthew 14? He goes back to the land of Gennesaret at the end of that chapter. And it says, and when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. That's verse 34 of Matthew 14. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Again, that connection to Jesus, the law, the commandments, the the prayers, you know, all the different things that are there. But that most likely was what it's referring to in the text for that. All right, I know I'm running out of time here, but I set that up. That's just the introduction, all right? And why I say that is because if you go back to the book of Numbers, and they're commanded here to, it says, speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations. So this is something a Jew is to continue to do and continue to do it. And to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. Now that's the connection, and do them. Now think of that as that man walked around with that prayer shawl on. He would only put it up over his head when he went to pray. That's actually biblical, but to cover your head, you know, when you pray. We always take our hats off. I don't know, that's just Western culture. But it's probably more proper to cover. You don't have to. Don't start that, okay? But I'm just saying, if you want to, you know, talk about the way the Jews did it, that's what they would do. They would always cover themselves. And it was a picture, not only that, it was humility for a man covering himself, acknowledging that he's below God. He's not God. And in humility, he would do that. But it was a constant reminder to those watching that number one, that man was different. Those tassels were a reminder that he was under the commandments of God. It was also a reminder that he was under the commandment of God and had broken those things. Because God goes on to say, and he says, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. Sounds like men then were about the same as they are today. Their eyes wander, their minds wander. And left to our own devices, we will go off and do things that are against the Lord's commandments. And so there's a picture of praying when this is, that's what this clothing was used for. And it's a picture of also a separation unto God because he's holy. They were to walk differently. And it would look different as it does today. If you see a Jewish man wearing that, you say, that's different, you know. It's different because they're supposed to be different. Of course, we're not all under the law anymore. And we'll get to that. But it was a reminder back in the time of Moses of their relationship to God. And you see that because of the personal pronouns that are used, right? He says that they are to do that to generations, to put that on their corners of their garments. And he goes on to say that you may not follow the harlotry, right? That you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. There was a reminder that man, though he was of the whole nation of Israel, the tribe of, or the camp of Israel, he himself was accountable to God. And I think that's important that when we come to prayer, and as we're praying, that's one of the big things that prayer does. It reminds us that we're not our own. It reminds us that we are under God, and that we acknowledge God in those things. And I think that was a beautiful picture of that. In Exodus 19, verse 6, the Jews were reminded that they were to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Now, believers in this dispensation, members of the church, we're not a nation, all right? We are called in the writings of 1 Peter a peculiar people, right? A unique people, that's what that means. Could mean strange, but it doesn't in that context. But we're also a royal priesthood, he says. And the great thing is that probably Seth, when he was asked, we were talking about Seth Beebe tonight, and he was asked, are you a priest? He could have correctly said, yes, I am. And by the way, if you're a believer, you can too. Now, you might want to clarify that, all right? But we do not need anybody else to intercede on our behalf before God. We can go before the Lord directly, and that's why the book of Hebrews says, I can boldly go before the throne of grace. And I'm a believer priest because Jesus is my mediator. And I go to him and he pleads my cause. Isn't that great? I'm thankful for that. The prayer shawl of the Old Testament reminded the Jew, the man there, that he was also part of a royal priesthood or a holy nation in that. A nation on earth, not a heavenly people in that way. although God's people, right? It also reminded him of the requirements before God. 613 commandments. And every time he looked at those and the knots that were there, and he would be reminded of those 613 laws, both the good and the bad. All right, I say the good and the bad. They're all good, but the positives and the negatives, the don'ts and the do's. And it was a wonderful illustration to train up his child, too, as perhaps one day as he's sitting there, his little girl jumps up on his lap and she says, "Daddy, what are those knots? What is this, you know, this little thing?" And she played with the hem of his garment. And a man bound under the law, because the book of Numbers right in the very beginning says you'll teach your children these things. When you rise up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you're in the way, when you're working in the field, you're to train up your children in those things and to teach them. That's the word that is used. And the word to teach means to cause them to learn. Not just instruct them and hope they remember it, but to make them want to learn it. And as that was a wonderful method of being able to rehearse the commandments of God. And you say, would they memorize all 613 commandments? Yes. A good Jewish male would do that. He would know those things, and he would put them in different groupings, and he would remember those different things, and you would rehearse those like you would rehearse a song. And we could do that probably rather quickly if we did that every day. Now, unfortunately, it would become routine and rote, and it wouldn't necessarily always be something like sometimes prayer can become today. It becomes so routine we forget what we're really doing. Or people just pray in vain repetition. That never was the intention. The intention was that their eyes would be inclined to look to the Lord and his commandments and to keep them and to be reminded that they were holy. It reminded the requirements before God for the Jewish man that he was bound by the commandments. Those coming up behind him also were bound by those commandments. And from generation to generation, he was to pass on that knowledge. And we are also to pass on that knowledge. I'm thankful, though, that we have the Word of God. And we are not, in the church, bound by the commandments, 613 of them. We're under grace. Now, we're still to be obedient to them. Jesus said that, didn't he? I mean, it was Jesus who said, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. I think that's a good thing. Now, again, you're not bound to do all the commandments that are there in the law. There are some things we're freed up from now. But there, we are still to be obedient to what the Scripture reveals to us in doing that. I'm thankful that we have the forgiveness of sins. The one thing that prayer shawl reminded the Jewish male is that he was never free from the law. He couldn't take that off one day if he was going to be abiding by God's commands. He just couldn't, you know, put that away. I mean, I'm sure people did. But if he was going to be obedient, he had to have that on as he went out and as he walked around. Every time he got dressed, had to do that. When he addressed God, he had to put it up on his head and address God in a certain way and come to God in a certain procedure and everything. Matter of fact, when they, even to this day and around the outside of that in the embroidery is the phrase in Hebrew that says, "Blessed are you, Lord, our God, ruler of the universe, who makes us holy with commandments and has commanded us to wrap ourselves in the tzitzit." All right? And they are every time reminded that it's right there, written right on it. And a Jewish man, before he will pray, he will kiss the four corners of those as a reminder that he is to love the Lord and that this is holy, what he's doing. I'm saying all this we're not implementing this here at church, so you know that, okay? Don't bring your prayer shawls next week, all that. In many ways, I'm not bound by that. But I have much greater relationship because we're not clothed with a piece of cloth. We're clothed with righteousness that is found in Christ. And Christ is pictured in the shawl. He is pictured in that and all through it. He's holy unto the Lord, isn't he? He's the one who kept all the commandments. He's the one who makes us holy. He's the one that cloaks us with righteousness. And he's the one who's with us wherever we go. All of those different things. It was a constant reminder. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And that is kind of like the New Testament side of the tallit, the prayer shawl says when it says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God," right? Ruler of the universe. And he reminds us of that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, familiar verse, or it should be. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And again, a picture of putting on Christ, putting off the old, putting on Christ, right? In doing that. And again, John 14:15, if you want the reference, that's where Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? And in John 14:21, same chapter, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will be loved by him and manifest myself to him. And you see the connection there? That if you keep his commandments, you'll love him. And it's possible to try to keep the commandments just to do it to be maybe for the fear of man, right? Well, somebody sees me break it, I'm in trouble, right? But that's not why we do things. We do it because we love the Lord. And it draws us to him. He says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father. God loves obedience. And he loves someone who's willing to pray and to come to him and to do that. I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's what Jesus says in that. For the Jewish man, he was reminded constantly that the reason he was to be different than the rest of the nations around him was because God called him out from among them and called them to be a holy people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. He brought us out to bring us in. And that's a picture of salvation, isn't it? Jesus brought us out of the world, out of sin, into his fold, into his relationship of being a bride. Oh, what a wonderful truth, right? There was also responsibility before God that was pictured. Back there in verse 39, the second part of that, they were reminded that they had an obligation to separate themselves from evil and to walk in the ways of the Lord. And that's what that says, right? You're not to go after these other gods. And uses the word harlotry or whoredom. And that's the way God sees it. When we give our affection to someone that is other than him, I'm talking about affection, unholy affection. It's harlotry. It's like going to be with a prostitute. How would your spouse feel if they knew you were going to find affection with someone else and going to visit a prostitute? The jealousy, which would be right on their part, would be there. Well, God feels that same way. And you see that that's what he said. This is a reminder. It was hard for a Jewish man who was properly clothed to go out there and forget, because he was to be reminded, and those around him were to be reminded. Just by his very garments, he was different. And yet, in Israel's history, they did stray, didn't they? I'm sure there was a day they got up, some of them, and said, I'm not putting this thing on anymore. I don't need this. I don't need the Lord. And it led to that. Don't do that, all right? Be reminded of his grace on that. And then their responsibilities, it reminded them the responsibilities before God. And we need that as well. We need that reminder. It reminded them of the redemption. The the tassel and the garments were white, and they were to be white because that represents the righteousness of God, right? The sins that we have are gone. The blue was a reminder that that comes from heaven, like the sky, the blue sky. And that's the picture that is seen in that. It also reminds us that we're under his protection and we're under his blessing. For the Jew, he was a constant reminder. It was a constant reminder to him that everything he had and all his very existence depended upon God in doing that. Another image, and I'll kind of end with this. Like I said, it's seen numerous times in Scripture where this is, and this illustration shows up. And one of them is in the book of Ruth. And remember Ruth, when she comes in chapter 3 there, and she comes to present herself before Boaz, and hoping that he can redeem her and bring her in, marry her and redeem the land that, you know, from her dead husband, and that kinsman redeemer, that whole thing. And again, a picture of Christ, right? Boaz, a strong man, a rich man, and he's able to redeem when the other one isn't. That's a picture of the law. And by the way, the law couldn't redeem the Jew. It just was able to remind him that he needed a redeemer. And in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9, remember she goes up and she lays at his feet, all right? And Boaz wakes up and he says, who are you? And so she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative or a kinsman redeemer. The word for wing is the same word as that, the hem that is referred to, or this tassel that is referred to back there in the book of Numbers. She was identifying with Boaz and with Boaz's God. Hey, we have so much. And you know, I just say as we go to prayer tonight, may we just be encouraged by that we're under greater shawl. We have the righteousness of Christ, which we have the seal of the Holy Spirit. We can go before him and pray. We can do all those things. And there are still many Jews tonight that are still doing these things and still passing this on generation to generation, and many don't even know why. May we pray in these days that they would come to understand the gospel that is pictured in the very garments that they wear. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that you're the one who so long ago commanded your people to walk differently, to dress differently. Not that they would just be weird, but Lord, that they would be redeemed and walk redeemed, and that people would see that. Lord, help us as believers who are in an entirely different, similar but different relationship, Lord. We've been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank you for the righteousness that is found in him. And Lord, as we think about that tonight, oh, what blessings we have that are eternal. Thank you for, again, Lord, I think of when you ascended up into heaven and your arms are outstretched and you gave a blessing to your disciples, and that blessing does not end. Thank you that we're under the shadow of your wings even to this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.